Today is April 14th, 2022. I'm Luke Haverly. My co-host, Elizabeth Cuppet Haverly, and I welcome you to the Divided Kingdom.
The evening news program that many of you have come to know and trust since 2003, and you can hear us on WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, Global Star, and KSTARTalkRadio.com. You will have to look at their websites for days and program times, and we still are under a lot of financial stress, and we do need some help. We're pretty well taken care of with Global Star Communications for April, thanks to you listeners. And we need some more checks written out to WWCR to pay for May. So any amount that you can help us with will help to keep us on the air. So send that to Lou Caverly, capital L-O-U, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, and that's 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. We really do want to stay on the air, but we do need your help. We're coming to you one day before Good Friday, 2022.
3 days before Resurrection Day. A humble carpenter's son, yet almighty God's son, too. A lamb willingly taken to be slaughtered on the cross, dying a death of unspeakable suffering for your sins and mine. The choice is yours to repent of your transgressions and honor New World Order minions, to stay in the pits of evil doing without remorse, doing unspeakable deeds for Satan, as much of what we report tonight covers, or to fall upon your knees, sorrowfully repenting the harm you have caused, asking Jesus' forgiveness. To those who sincerely repent and ask our risen Savior to come into their hearts, Jesus will show mercy and guidance all through this life and into his gift of eternal heavenly life. May some of the ones caught up in the great evils we report on tonight be convicted and then saved by Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lou, and right now, the murderous evil of COVID, what you've called, Lou, the greatest evil in the history of mankind, still continues to horrify and shock. Our minds are just boggled now with some new bombshells breaking from Dr. Brian Artis in interviews on Brighteon.com with Mike Adams.
Just amazing piece after piece of mainstream documentation, such as articles in the Wall Street Journal and numerous medical journals, fleshing out a tip given to Dr. Artis that snake king cobra venom played a role in COVID and COVID vaccines.
Yes, Dr. Brian Artis comments that he's now on the number one hit list. We've heard about someone else who I believe was from the University of Pennsylvania who was probably taken out, somebody who was announcing to the world that he had a lot of new information about COVID. It was either the University of Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania. You don't remember which, do you?
No, I don't.
I think he had a Chinese name, too. Maybe Dr. Bing. Anyway, he's gone. So now, we believe God's warrior angels are really protecting Dr. Artis to get this new information out. Now, we're in the initial stages of this leaking bombshell information, and if we find the info to be fully corroborated over time, it is really stunning. It looks as though, if this is all corroborated, that there were two researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, and they were actually working on the mRNA as early as 2005, long before Robert Malone says he helped pioneer in developing the mRNA. And allegedly, they were involved in using snake venom in their work. Dr. Artis's research suggests the 19 in COVID-19 refers to 19 different virulent king cobra venom molecules that are part of the bioengineered so-called COVID virus.
From our understanding, these 19 cobra venom elements play a role in both COVID and COVID vaccines associated with these bullet points. First, causing blood clots and death as in world athletes dropping dead. Next, causing speedy renal or kidney failure in remdesivir because freeze-dried venom, that is cobra venom, according to Dr. Otis's sources, is included in remdesivir. Next, the George Soros Gilead Company's nefarious role in these undertakings.
And note how that sort of slams the Bible and Bible-believing Christians. We all know that song, there is a bomb in Gilead. But this Gilead isn't going to give you BALM. It's going to give you BOMB.
Good point. Yes, that's right, Elizabeth. And another bullet point, the efficacious role of hydroxychloroquine and monoclonal antibodies in treating COVID, because, according to Dr. Artis, they are known to be effective anti-snake venom agents. By yesterday, Elizabeth, do you wish to say something there?
No, that's really quite interesting.
It is very interesting, yes. And by yesterday, April 13th, at broadcast taping time for this program, the following two shocking headlines had emerged at naturalnews.com.
And I think I had a few more bullet points right after you mentioned this anti-snake venom agent.
Yes.
I think I'll bring mine in first. And, Lou, one more bullet point from Artis's interview is the possibility of this cobra venom helping to make the mRNA nanotechnology operating system more effective. Also, Artis believes that so-called long COVID, that is, people bedridden for months and they never seem to get well, that they're victims of this venom, and they could be helped possibly by using nicotine gum, not smoking. He isn't urging that, but he also says zinc, because these are two well-known things that seem to quell the venom effects. They are inhibiting factors. And Lou and I also note that the first two letters of COVID, C-O, might be code for cobra. And also, Dr. Artis draws our attention to the fact the word corona in Latin means the crown of a king, and virus in Latin means venom. So do we see there that we have king cobra? And Lou, now you have more.
Yes, I do. And these headlines appeared at Natural News. You can read the articles, and they were dated April 13th. The first one said, Venom Tech Company announces massive library of snake venom peptides for pharmaceutical development. Nanocaries stabilize snake venom in water. And the second headline said, monoclonal antibodies and anti-venom to a snake-based component of COVID. And we'll, of course, be updating you later on this whole matter as we get more information.
And, yes, you know, we have to talk a little bit about our own reactions to this, because we always know the Hegelian dialectic is at work with the New World Order minions, and sometimes they like to present opposite sides so that you get confused. Sometimes they have theater of distractions. A lot of the Biden soundstage, White House, Oval Office business may be that. So we started thinking about this, that if this ruled out a lot of the other cutting-edge information that we've gotten about the COVID vaccines and about COVID itself, we had to realize that, first of all, if we said that only this cobra, King Cobra venom, was responsible for everything that had to do with the great illness of COVID itself and then in the vaccines, there's one missing word, isn't there, Lou, that it doesn't explain?
Yes, and that word is contagion. Now, perhaps there is an explanation, but the one thing that crossed my mind immediately was, how is this transmitted? Now, we have relatives on both sides.
Yes, yours and mine.
That's right.
You have a cousin, and
yep.
I have a brother and sister-in-law.
That's right. All of them caught COVID in a situation where, you know, there would have been none of this snake venom around.
But there were people.
There were people.
There were was a gathering of people.
In both cases, yes, that's right. So we have to question, how did the transmission from one person to another take place?
If the bad agent was only the snake venom. So at this point, you and I think that we're considering this very strongly, and we believe that probably there were other elements that we have thought were part of it. The gain of function, the HIV elements, Judy Mikovits, her very scholarly delineation of the kinds of leukemia viruses, monkey viruses, other things that were part of this witch's brew. So we tend to think that there is a combination of these things going on, don't we?
Yes, we do. And
now, wasn't there another thing that we had thought about besides the contagion? Oh, yes, the shedding. Now, we're seeing that Omicron, we're seeing that there is vaccination shedding from the COVID clot shots. We've heard people like Dr. Jane Ruby tell that after she's been with a room full of patients all day long, sometimes she would go home and be sick for hours. Now, if we just have snake venom, we don't think that it alone would cause, again, this kind of a contagious shedding, do we?
It doesn't seem like it to me. Now, perhaps we'll find out some more information later that would help to explain that.
Everything can be modified.
Yes.
Everything is always modified. Do we have any more talking about the actual Luciferian satanic business? Do you have a little bit more there, or don't you have any?
I think that wraps that up.
Okay, what we have to say this, that we've only heard, I think, the first two parts of Dr. Brian Artis's interview, his series of interviews there with Mike Adams, but we know that he believes that this is really satanic to the nth degree, that it's like in Genesis, when the contamination of God's creation got too bad. You know, with the fallen angels and the women on earth cohabiting and everything happening, God pulled the plug, and that's when Noah went into the ark with the pure God DNA people and part of God's creation. I guess the animals, too, had God's DNA. But now, if people are actually becoming serpent, part serpents, isn't that it?
That's the theory, exactly, yes.
And it really isn't just a theory, because biologically it would be accurate that the snake venom is becoming part of their bodies. And what this might do to the soul, only God really knows, but it is a contamination. And, you know, these are anecdotal things. Mike Adams says that we may notice that some people are more ugly with other people after they've had all these shots. Now, we haven't noticed that with our relatives, but we have noticed that some of our relatives seem to be a little more excitable and unable to finish their sentences. And we do remember the other horrible part, that there were prion-like things happening after these shots, and that the brain could be eaten into holes, just like the mad cow disease affiliations before that we've seen and brought out on air. So at this time, this is very shocking, and we really do want to stay on the air. We're hoping and praying you can pray for us, along with praying for Lou's brother, who is getting weaker but still does not have pain. And we thank a great listener from Milwaukee who had all kinds of very interesting health information. We do think that in this case, it is too late to try to reach out for that. Plus, Lou's brother had the vaccine for COVID. So we think that this is still very accurate, that the DNA repair systems are ruined in our bodies by the CRISPR. See, that's another big one. That cannot be replaced completely by the cobra venom story alone, can it?
No. It seems as if that is something in addition. I think there's a great deal that we have to learn about this. It may be that the venom is a significant part of this. But
like sort of an adjuvant.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way, you know?
That's right.
And you know how my relative, who has the PhD in biochemistry, said that he would never take the flu shot because he knew how harmful adjuvants were. We know squalene was pretty harmful, probably linked with the Gulf War illness to our military, who were always experimental guinea pigs. But at any rate, we're bringing you the cutting-edge stuff, so if you want to keep us on air, please, please send something to us, even $20, $5. It adds up. If 100 people sent $5 even, you see, and we think that giving you all that we can give you for 18 years, we just are so grateful that some of you probably who have greatly sacrificed are trying to keep us on the air, and we pray that our property will soon go through into a sale, and that will alleviate some of the month-by-month stress. We hate to have to ask you for help, but isn't that part of being God's remnant, that we're all to help each other? The Bible says somebody is a foot, somebody is an arm, somebody is something else. You see, we're all part of this. And I think now, we've delayed this long enough, Lou. I said to you, we needed to have you lead a very strong prayer. Your prayers are so wonderful. But we think now, when we realize we have people listening from Canada, we have people listening from Colorado, Maine, Vermont, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, all of these different states that we have people listening in, you are a force. You are a righteous force to be praying together with us. And we know that the Bible says where two are gathered together, God hears it. And I've told on this air, I think before, that I only had one instant miracle in my life. And that was when in the year 2000, and it was on my late father's birthday. I didn't know that at the time. It was March 1st. But an ex-veteran friend of ours came over, and I had horrendous trigeminal neuralgia, and this had been going on for a couple months in my face, and there's no pain like it. You know, I have trouble with something called plantar fasciitis. Some of you may know what that is, in your heel, and it is a rather agonizing nerve pain. It's like when your elbow gets bumped. You know, we called it a crazy horse, I think, something like that when we were kids. And it's pretty bad, and it's regular, and I've had this for a long time, and I can't seem to find the right shoes and things that will fix it, and I keep trying, but nothing was as bad as that thing in my face. I remember being at a restaurant one time, and I just had to sit and sort of pound my hand when it hit. It would be in regular outbursts of this terrible nerve pain. Well, anyway, this friend came over, and I explained it to her, and she said, oh. And she just, not even letting me know, she just started the prayer. And she said, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this poor girl can't take this anymore. And she asked him, and she said, where two of us are gathered together, will you remove the pain? And when she ended the prayer, the pain was gone, and it never came back. I'd had an episode of it in about 1991, and then it returned, you see, 9 years later. But I have never had it again. And so in that kind of faith, knowing what our Lord is capable of, I want Lou to lead us in a prayer that we will ask the Lord to look upon us with mercy and to hold back the judgment, slow down the new world order, just as he did at the time of 9/11/2001. We've had over 20 years of merciful time. And now that parents, good parents who care about their children and who are Christians, they're finding out about some of this hidden, horrible, satanic evil like is at Disney World. This is the time we must stand up and we must pray for God to foil it. We are by no means certain that we're going into the Great Tribulation right now. And Lou, I would like to ask you now to enlist all of our listeners to the Divided Kingdom to pray for God to foil the New World Order and to mercifully give us more time to repent.
So let's all pray together. Almighty God, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are about to celebrate or commemorate, in the case of Good Friday, the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, to take away the sins of anybody who will turn to him and ask him into their heart and be born again. So we thank you, first of all, for that unspeakable gift. And we thank you for Resurrection Day, just a few days away, 2 days after Good Friday, when Jesus rose from the dead to prove that you pray for this country. It needs prayer intensely. I ask all of you listening to pray that this country will turn around. That's a big order, a very big order, because there is a great deal in this country that is filled with sin. But we ask, O Lord, that you will be patient and that good people can influence things. We're going to talk about in the program today some of the good influences that are coming about. So we put this in your hands, O God. We ask that your will be done in all things, and we turn ourselves over to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Lou.
You're welcome.
And thank you, listeners, for being part of this little unchartered church, I guess we could call it, couldn't it? We're all part of it if we're Christians. And, you know, in this murderous horror that we see with COVID and the COVID clot shots, may Jesus Christ's salvation break into even some of the blackest hearts of the New World Order and harvest some souls for him to wash white as snow, brought out of the reprobate mind, rescued from Satan's death plan, even some of those we talk about tonight, April Fools, Deadly and Immoral. And you will be able to see that program title soon, probably by tomorrow, when this program is posted in our listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. Send others. We must grow. Send others to DividedKingdomRadio.com. And now let's move right in. Yes, Lou, in your prayer, you said we have some good influences that we're going to talk about. They are few and far between, actually, but we know they are there. There is a lot that's deadly, not just the king cobra venom.
And we'll
now
begin.
We move right here near our home.
Yes, the juxtaposition of these two next articles next to each other, I should say, advertisements next to each other on our local newspaper, the Sunday Star at Eastern Maryland, April 10th. Each of them covers the full half of a page. First, we have something called Sound Off. April is the month of the young child. And ask several people the question, what makes a child special?
And you know, this is like that old thing they used to have, the man on the street, isn't it?
That's right.
TV interviews, the guy standing there, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
First, we have John, the last initial N, a foundation president. And he says, their innocence and their love. We have Anessa D., the county library executive director. She says, their imagination. They can take children wherever they want to go. Jason N., a cybersecurity consultant, says their purity and their resilience. They always bounce back and are ready to go. Leslie M., a college student. They're a gift to us. They light up the room, and they look up to us as adults in everything we do. And Bill N., an area truck driver. They make you happy and put a smile on your face. They make us do better for them and for yourself, too. But now we move to the right-hand half of the page, and we have this big ad, COVID-19 vaccine clinics, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Pfizer available for 5 to 11-year-olds. Appointments required. First, second, third, and booster doses with Pfizer for 12 and up, and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson for 18 and up. Schedule appointments for age 12 plus.
LifeSite News, Friday, April 8th, 2022, by Celeste McGovern. Medical journals, VAERS reports show girls as young as 5 develop genital ulcers after Pfizer shot. Published case reports and hundreds of VAERS reports describe girls and women developing, quote, exquisitely painful, weeping vaginal lesions after Pfizer COVID shots. Recent medical case reports describe preteen and teenage girls developing painful genital lesions following Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 injections. 3 girls, ages 12 to 15, presented with vaginal ulcers that began developing 2 days after each of them received their second dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 shot, according to a case series published this month by doctors at the Pediatric and Adolescent Gynecology Department at Mercy Children's Hospital in Kansas, Missouri. Each of the girls had received their first Pfizer dose without complications, but noticed pain on the second day after their second shots. The ulcers are believed to be an abnormal immune response to infection or other sources of inflammation. Each of the girls suffered from multiple ulcers on her genitals, some of which developed necrotic islands or spots of dead gray tissue. None of the girls were sexually active or reported a history of COVID infection or recent exposure or having any recent symptomatic viral illnesses. Tests for cytomegalovirus and Epstein-Barr virus, known to be associated with the condition, were all negative. Other published case reports on PubMed, the National Library of Medicine, describe young girls who developed a painful immune-mediated condition following Pfizer's COVID-19 shots. A 12-year-old healthy girl with no prior sexual history developed a fever a day after she received a second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. She also had no symptoms following the first dose of Pfizer's injection, but developed three painful ulcers with a red rim, including one with a white-gray necrotic crust. As vulvar aphthous ulcer results from an immunologic response to an inflammatory source, the COVID-19 vaccine likely resulted in the development of ulcers once this patient's immune response was activated by vaccination, concluded dermatologists Sabrina Popatia and Yvonne Chu of the Medical College of Wisconsin, who treated the girl and published their report in the journal Pediatric Dermatology. Another case report describes a 16-year-old non-sexually active girl who became feverish and tired with muscle pain and developed lesions in her vaginal area within 24 hours of her second dose of Pfizer's COVID injection. Over the next 2 days, the right-sided lesions in her vaginal area coalesced into an oozing yellow and gray ulcer with a ring-like border of dead tissue that was exquisitely painful, according to the gynecologist who diagnosed her at Children's Minnesota Hospital. The teen could not use a toilet or walk without difficulty. A 14-year-old girl who was diagnosed with vulvar aphthous ulcers that also began 2 days after she received her second shot of Pfizer's experimental COVID-19 immunization following a fever and insomnia is described in another recent case report from the Children's Hospital and Medical Center, Omaha, Nebraska, in October 2021. And then we have, I think, just a little bit more that I'll just kind of skip over. There were other case reports. There was one FAERS report describing a 5-year-old in Colorado who had muscle aches, arm pain, and difficulty walking after she developed a vaginal lesion after that second dose of Pfizer shot in November. And we have VigiBase, the World Health Organization's database for side effects of drugs, including vaccines, cites 1,881 reports of aphthous ulcers, which may have occurred on any membrane, plus another 1,461 reports of vaginal disorders, including ulcers, swelling, and blistering. And Lou, I think we go to you next.
And now we have this headline, Maim Them Early. White House demands early genital mutilation surgeries for children to convert them before they have the presence of mind to say no. This is by Ethan Huff, April 1st, 2022, Natural News. Joe Biden's criminal regime is doing everything it can to try to mutilate the genitals of your children. The pedophile-in-chief's people are seeking to normalize early transgender surgeries for the youngest children possible, the goal being to, quote-unquote, transition them into other genders before they have the chance to cognitively object. The White House claims that administering puberty blockers and other sex-altering hormones as early as possible to children is also, quote-unquote, crucial for their healthy development, along with having various body parts removed or added. On the Biden regime's declared Transgender Day of Visibility, Hunter's dads, handlers, flagged a resource from the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health that says it is intended to, quote, inform parents and guardians, educators, and other persons supporting children and adolescents with information on what is gender-affirming care and why it is important to transgender, non-binary, and other gender-expansive young people's well-being, unquote. So-called gender-affirming care is a buzz phrase commonly used by the transgender mafia and the media to make the genital mutilation of children sound more palatable. In truth, this care, and care is in quotes, this care involves removing the breasts of young girls and slicing off the penis and testicles of young boys. These missing body parts are often then replaced with a bastardized recreation of the opposite sex's genitals. Some children who are told by adult groomers that they are trans also opt to have their face and other bodily features reconstructed to make them appear more like the opposite sex. Gender bender pharmaceuticals are part of the process as well, falling under the wide-reaching umbrella of gender-affirming care. Gender-affirming care is a supportive form of health care, Biden's Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health sheet explains. And it goes on to say, it consists of an array of services that may include medical, surgical, mental health, and non-medical services for transgender and non-binary people. It also says for transgender and non-binary children and adolescents, early gender-affirming care is crucial to overall health and well-being, as it allows the child or adolescent to focus on social transitions and can increase their confidence while navigating the health care system. Unquote.
It's crucial, Lou, that every Christian parent or grandparent listening to this, if you know that something like this is starting to come into your family, that you prevent this, that you really stand up for Jesus Christ and Almighty God's creation, and these little ones, the millstone will be hung around their neck later. But go ahead, what they try to push on us.
The White House insists that gender mutilation, hormone blockers, and, here's another word in quotes, affirmation, are all important because they have supposedly been, quote, shown to increase positive outcomes for transgender and non-binary children and adolescents. Gender-affirming care is patient-centered and treats individuals holistically, aligning their outward physical traits with their gender identity, unquote. The messaging sheet goes on to state, the Biden regime's lies on this subject are easily disproven by the flood of former transgenders who came forward back in March on D-Trans Awareness Day to tell the horrors they suffered due to encountering this type of messaging and believing it. Many of them are no longer able to function as normal human beings because their endocrine systems are shot, and they are now missing important body parts crucial for healthy living. One detransitioner by the name of Michelle, who had trouble fitting in growing up, many people who are convinced by others to go trans suffered in early childhood, she says she was groomed online by others into making bodily changes that she now regrets. Michelle tweeted on Detrans Awareness Day, quote, I was vulnerable, desperate, and young, unquote. And let's see.
And, yes, I think there's another headline at LifeSite News, the similar kind of coverage here. Biden's HHS endorses surgical chemical mutilation of gender-confused children and adolescents. And, of course, there they mention again, as it was mentioned in your article, that people look back and they realize that they're not well off after all this has happened. And it says here, experts outside the medical establishment warn that surgically or chemically reinforcing gender confusion imposes irreversible harm on children, such as infertility, impairment of adult sex function, and reduced life expectancy, as well as the psychological toll of being locked into physical alterations, regardless of whether they change their minds when they mature. Studies indicate that more than 80% of children experiencing gender dysphoria outgrow it on their own by late adolescence, unless their confusion is reinforced by adults. And there's a book called Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters, by the Wall Street Journal's Abigail Schreier. The book explains the phenomenon of rapid onset gender dysphoria, a term coined in 2018 by Brown University behavioral scientist Lisa Littman. She found that a significant percentage of gender dysphoria among minors came not from innate feelings of discontent with one's true sex, but from outside influence. Lou, that means propaganda.
Exactly. That's the word for it.
For her book, Schreier dug deep into the trans epidemic, talking to the girls, their agonized parents, and the counselors and doctors who enable gender transitions, as well as to detransitioners, according to the product description. Coming out as transgender immediately boosts these girls' social status, Schreier found, but once they take the first steps of transition, it is not easy to walk back. The new statements follow the president's Transgender Day of Visibility proclamation Wednesday, in which Biden, quote, celebrated the activism and determination that have fueled the fight for transgender equality and derided an, quote, onslaught of state legislation to keep sexual proselytizing out of elementary school, protect children from physical mutilation and chemical castration, and ensure female athletes don't have to compete with males in sex-specific competitions as undermining transgender humanity and corroding our nation's values. And we aren't even going to bring up that swimming incident. We had it. We never got it reported on. But all of you heard all about that in the mainstream press. So now we move on.
Next we have, from LifeSite News, you won't believe the graphic advice trans activists are giving your sons. This is by Jonathan Van Maren, Thursday, March 24th. And it says, reader advisory, frank discussion of primary sexual characteristics. For the past several years, I've been covering the rise of a new industry dedicated to producing transgender accessories for children. In this space, I've noted the ongoing mainstreaming of, quote, binders, unquote, which flatten healthy breasts, cause many complications, and are presented as a life-saving way for girls to disguise themselves as boys. There are also packers, which is essentially small plastic penises that girls can place in their underwear to pass as boys. The more expensive and sophisticated packers theoretically allow girls to urinate standing up. The reason I write all of this, by the way, is because those producing these products also work hard to get them to kids without their parents' knowledge. Some kids are even crowdfunding their hormone treatments and sex change surgeries. Children order binders and packers with credit cards and get them mailed in disguised packages after being told how to do so by transgender YouTube influencers that they've been watching without parental knowledge. This information is unfortunately relevant to many parents who do not realize it yet. Packers are what little girls use to present as male. And consider what a twisted mind it takes to think of this vile product. So what are the boys who want to identify as girls? The Dornbecker Children's Hospital, and take note, that's a children's hospital, in Portland, Oregon, has now produced a detailed guide on tucking, as well as advice on where transgender products can be purchased.
Lou, we have to talk about, is it pronounced the Sudoku's? How do we pronounce that?
I believe it is.
With the two snakes around it?
Yeah.
It's becoming clearer and clearer, pharmakia in the Bible, the witchcraft. It's becoming clearer and clearer, the despotism of the medical big pharma complex combined with the military tyranny complex. What's happening, isn't it? It really is. So that these hospitals who are given the $40,000 incentive to put the people in the ventilators and then $100,000 if they're killed on the ventilators, they die, that's accompanied by these so-called children's hospitals. It's not do no harm. It's not the Hippocratic Oath. Maybe it never was. But we have something now that's growing, that has grown malignant beyond anything we can imagine. So what about this? What's the name of this children's hospital?
This is the Dornbecker Children's Hospital in Portland, Oregon. The author goes on to say, tucking is moving the penis, testicles, or both, out of the way. This makes the genital area look smoother or flatter. Tucking can reduce any concerns you have about your body, how your clothes fit, and how safe you feel in public. Both genders can tuck. Remember, this information is directed at children on how to disguise themselves as the opposite gender. If a boy is uncomfortable with his penis or is experiencing gender dysphoria, The advice here is to tuck his penis and testicles between his legs to hide them rather than get comfortable with his own body. Here is some of the hospital's practical advice. So this is not the author saying this. This is the hospital. There are two main ways to tuck, with tape and without. And I won't read all of this because it's kind of obvious what they're talking about here. But he goes on to say the next section of the guide is called Putting Your Testicles Inside Your Body. And it comes complete with diagrams, which you can view at your discretion. I'll just show you an excerpt I clipped out of the page. Now, because we can't show you a video, so if you want that, you'll just have to go to the LifeSite News and check it out. He goes on to say this is advice being given to kids by medical professionals who have been inculcated with transgender dogmas. A generation of children is being destroyed as a result.
And I think that we can agree with everything in that article.
Yes.
LifeSite News also has a headline, Biden administration claims experts agree transitioning kids is best practice. Experts say otherwise. And, of course, we had the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, declaring that this medical reinforcement of the gender confusion for children is best practice. She said every major medical association agrees that gender-affirming health care for transgender kids is the best practice and potentially life-saving. Oh, no, we don't all agree. And those of you who prayed with Lou, we pray for God to foil this evil, evil kind of venom that's in our society. And we have to move along now. Do you have, what is your, I have 3D. What do you have next?
I have 3E and F.
Okay, I have to shorten this a little bit, I think, or just we'll allude to it. We may come back to it more at a later time. Former transgenders speak out against the exploitation and abuse of teens by LGBT groomers. We've heard that before. Then we have a school district that, to the pre-K students, draw your own transgender pride flag. And where that is, it's in Illinois, District 65, located in Evanston, Illinois. If we have time, we might get back to it. But now, the other big breaking story is Disney. And do I have the beginning of it? I have 9A. Or do you have something on it, Lou?
Well, now, let me see. I think you have the beginning, but I'll tell you in just a second. Yes, I have 9B.
Okay. Here we have child grooming Disney linked to Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein's Pedo Island. Boycott Disney. This was Friday, April 8th, by Mike Adams at Natural News. In today's sickening news, Substack's Emerald Robinson asks the question, why was Ghislaine Maxwell doing fundraisers for Disney in 1985? From the story, photos of convicted pedophile Ghislaine Maxwell hosting an event called Happy Family Disney Day in 1985 have surfaced on the Internet today. It's the ultimate PR nightmare. It's going to be very hard for Disney to claim that it's not a pro-pedophile organization when it literally took donations from the world's most infamous still-living pedophile and groomer to the stars. Envolve.com also adds to this report in a story entitled Revealed, Disney was sending kids to Epstein's Pedophile Island for snorkeling trips. For years, a Disney-owned and operated Caribbean cruise line was operating a snorkeling tour for kids to Jeffrey Epstein's renowned pedophile island. For kids aged 8 and up, a day trip to Little St. James, sometimes known as Pedophile Island by locals, cost $60 to $75. The Disney cruise did not warn parents that Epstein's renowned island was owned by the notorious billionaire pedophile, describing it as sun-soaked. Rather, the literature spoke of curious fish that, quote, dart back and forth in the beautiful blue water. Independent reports. A criminal complaint from the Attorney General of the U.S. Virgin Islands, which is attempting to seize Little St. James as government property, described it, quote, the perfect hideaway and haven for trafficking young women and underage girls for sexual servitude, child abuse, and sexual assault. On this island, the complaint says, quote, Epstein and his associates could avoid detection of their illegal activity from Virgin Islands and federal law enforcement. and prevent these young women and underage girls from leaving freely and escaping the abuse. It was in the Virgins that Epstein registered as a sex offender in 2010, following his first conviction for child prostitution in 2008. He also based his shell companies in a small, unmarked office in a seaside strip mall on St. Thomas, alongside a Sam's Mini Mart and a salon called Happy Nails.
This meme has also been circulating, showing Disney's Magical Kingdom castle as the tip of an iceberg, with Epstein's Pedo Island child-raping temple building beneath the water. As Robinson reports, what if I told you that Disney owned and operated a cruise line for families in the Caribbean? And what if I told you that those cruise ships offered a snorkeling trip for adults and kids to Jeffrey Epstein's private island for years? By the way, do you recall that ABC News killed news stories exposing Jeffrey Epstein, as revealed by former reporter Amy Robach? And did you know that Disney owns ABC? Exactly. So the Pedo Magical Kingdom of Disney owns the news networks that cover up the pedophile crimes of Jeffrey Epstein while offering Disney cruise experiences, and that's in quotes, experiences to the children who are allowed to engage in snorkeling tours at Epstein Island.
And Lou, we have to interject that we also heard at Natural News that Star Wars
was owned by
Disney, and that now it would be getting this wokeism, transgender, all of this propaganda, ruining it. Go ahead.
CNN has also been working hard to cover up Disney's pedophilia and child grooming crimes, even though the very same network actually investigated Disney and exposed the pedos in years past. What's abundantly clear is that the corporate media is covering up pedophilia to protect Disney, which is pushing a dangerous, demonic, woke agenda through its movies and networks in order to recruit young children into transgender perversions and mutilations. And here we have a sixth song, It's a Small Child After All. And, of course, I'll interject, that's a takeoff on the song that I know Disneyland many years ago had a ride, It's a Small, Small World, and this was the song to go with it. I believe this is from Natural News.
Yes, it is. Now this is a perverted, it's a description of the perversion.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lou.
And here are the lyrics. It's a world of grooming, a world of kids. It's a world of felony crimes that we did. There's so much that we share. When those young butts are bare, it's a small child after all. And the chorus is, it's a small child after all. It's a small child, we'll take them all. It's a small child, watch them crawl. It's a small, small child.
And again, from Natural News, the headline, why was Ghislaine Maxwell doing fundraisers for Disney in 1985? Photos of convicted pedophile Ghislaine Maxwell hosting an event called Happy Family Disney Day in 1985 have surfaced on the Internet today. It's the ultimate PR nightmare. And this article was by Emerald Robinson, republished from emeralddb3substack.com. And when we looked at that visual photo, Lou, it was interesting to me that Ghislaine, in a time, 1985, when lots of women in the mainstream culture, including me, were wearing miniskirts or skirts that were definitely above your knees. But she had a long, long, long kind of dress, a skirt. And you thought of two things, maybe trying to act like you're a deeply religious conservative person as the tour guide, or maybe a witch with a long black skirt. And so next to her was this tiny little African-American boy about age 3, innocently looking up at her. So, you know, if you can picture that, that might help a little bit more to think about this. So the article says it's going to be very hard for Disney to claim that it's not a pro-pedophile organization when it literally took donations from the world's most infamous still-living pedophile and groomer to the stars. Creepy, isn't it? Disney continues to trend today, and this was written April 8th, on social media sites like Twitter, and his stories and memes have taken on a life of their own. This is probably the biggest story in the world right now. This particular meme should send a shiver down your spine. Even international soccer players are boycotting Disney and posting their subscription cancellations. I've lost count of the number of boycott Disney messages that I've read on social media in the last few days. Meanwhile, a protest broke out yesterday at Disney's Burbank office. Hundreds of people attended the event. Breaking. Protesters are gathering outside Disney's Burbank, California location. High-level employees were recently seen in leaked meeting videos admitting to having a, quote, gay agenda to indoctrinate children. And we have more on this. Most corporate media outlets are trying to push a disinformation campaign that the Disney pedophile connections are merely a conspiracy theory created by Republicans. The problem for them, their own previous reporting contradicts their freshly minted and false defense of Disney. Lou, you mentioned CNN, didn't you?
I did.
Previously, they had reported on it. And it's not like Disney's pedo-gate is blowing up at the same time that Democrats are rallying behind their latest affirmative action nominee for the Supreme Court with a long history of light sentencing for child sex predators, right? So that's the new Supremes member, Brown Jackson. Yes. But wait, there's more. In 2019, Project Veritas broke a major story. A TV reporter named Amy Robach was caught on tape talking about how her network, ABC News, had killed her story on Jeffrey Epstein, who owned ABC News, Disney. And finally, what if I told you that Disney owned and operated a cruise line for families in the Caribbean? And what if I told you that those cruise ships offered a snorkeling trip for adults and children, kids, to Jeffrey Epstein's private island for years? Would you believe me? Do you have a little more there on this, Luke?
I do, yes. Okay. Now, this is from the LifeSite News. Report, Disney supports mutilating transgender surgeries, hormone blockers for staff and their kids. From LifeSite News, as I said, by Ashley Sadler, Friday, April 8th, 2022. As Disney faces mounting pressure from conservatives and parents for its public promotion of the LGBTQ plus agenda for children, a new report indicates the company is helping its employees and their minor children obtain mutilating sex change surgeries. Manhattan Institute senior fellow Chris Rufo, who has done significant work exposing critical race theory being taught in American classrooms, highlighted the massive corporation's efforts to help its staff access gender reassignment surgery and drugs in an April 7th tweet containing a video reportedly from an internal company meeting. In the video, a man who appears against a backdrop with the phrases "The Walt Disney Company" and "Reimagine Tomorrow" speaks about the work the company is doing to promote transgender expression and sex change procedures for its employees. The other big area is gender identity and expression. So doing all of this work to ensure that our company, that our employees and cast can express their gender here automatically, I take that back, authentically and proudly at the company, the man said. He added, quote, "So you know, coming up with guides on how to change your photo, information about pronouns, working with our benefits team to give information about gender affirmation procedures, both for our employees who are transitioning, and trans, but also our employees who have kids who are transitioning," he added. Disney has adopted a benefits program to assist employees and their minor children with gender affirmation procedures. That's their title, gender affirmation procedures. This type of treatment typically includes puberty blockers, breast removal, and genital surgeries for, quote, kids who are transitioning, unquote.
And Lou, then we had DeSantis. Now we mentioned, you mentioned early in the program we would have some good people standing up. Here is something good. Video, DeSantis accuses Disney of sexualizing kindergartners, and that was April 1st at Natural News. And it says Florida Governor Ron DeSantis openly accused Disney of being obsessed with sexualizing children Tuesday, questioning why the company is choosing the hill to die on as having transgenderism injected into kindergarten classrooms. And apparently there was an interview on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox, And there was a public rebuke there from DeSantis about what had gone on there, because I guess the rebuke was by Disney of DeSantis' parents' rights to, let me try that again, parents' rights in education bill, which prevents children as young as kindergarten age being taught about transgender and gay sex issues in schools. So you see, that's a reasonable, conservative, good, protective of children policy by the governor. And DeSantis said they're fine-lining their pockets from the CCP and all the atrocities that go on there. And we know where that is. That's the communist China Communist Party. But it's those kindergartners in Florida that they really want to have transgenderism as part of their core curriculum in school. The governor also noted that Disney seems perfectly fine with running cruises to the island of Dominica, where homosexuality is criminalized. DeSantis also commented on the attempt to frame his legislation as anti-gay by labeling it the Don't Say Gay bill. It's not even used in the bill. It's a fake narrative. It's a lie. They have to lie, because if they admitted to what they were really for, sexualizing kindergartners and first graders, they know that would not fly with the public, he urged. And then we had WorldNet Daily with this headline by Art Moore. This was March 31st, Insider, Disney rotting from within. We might get into that more at a later time. But a member of Disney's Imagineering team, and that's spelled like image, you see, Imagineering team of creative talent, wrote in under a pseudonym, under the pen name Ethan Clay, about what's going on there in the leadership, that there is this big, big push for the transgender storyline, the characters in their stories. And so they were supposed to abide by the four keys to success in the Disney Corporation: safety, courtesy, show, and efficiency. But they have added one more. They've added another key, and this is institutional capture. And they say that's a term that once belonged to economic theory as regulatory capture, but this is institutional capture. And that happens when a regulatory agency becomes corrupt and serves the interests of the entities it is supposed to regulate instead of the people. We've seen all of our institutions practically captured, haven't we, listeners? Disney has been rotting from the inside for quite some time, but the speed with which its public transformation took place is truly breathtaking. Florida was the final straw. Are you going to stand up for your risen Lord? We do hope so, and we pray for you to have a blessed resurrection day. Good night.